So good to come and worship on a day like today, isn't it? It's good to come into God's house and to lift up praise for our freedom, lift up praise for what Christ has done for us, what he's done for you and for me and the cross, and to come into this place. I really appreciate each person's had a part in leading us into worship this morning. It just tunes us and turns our attention more towards him. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2 again this morning. We were there last week. We're going back to that place again here. Just one verse of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 there once we get there. Verse 16 says this, "Act as free men. And do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God." Let's pray again together. Father, we thank you for this time to be in your house. I thank you for each one of these ones who have come before you this morning. Lord, our hearts are before you. Our needs, Lord, are before you. Lord, I thank you for this incredible freedom that we have sung about, this incredible freedom that we have experienced and live with, Lord, day by day, the great price that it's come to us by. And Lord, we think of our freedom in you and how we can't be any more free than if we know Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us during this time as we go into the word, and also, Lord, as we worship you at the table this morning, and what we will see, Lord, and what we'll hear from you, Lord, we are anticipating that you will work. And we just pray for your Holy Spirit to have his way with us this morning here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Freedom, and you think about this, though. We talk a lot about freedom. It's great to have this season. I think it's wonderful, as Dennis said. Every place that you look, people are singing the songs that we sang this morning. They're playing the songs that we've heard this morning. I think it was amazing. I was watching the fireworks display in New York City. My kids had that on the other night. And they're playing America. They're talking, I'm like, New York City? Can you really say that? Can you really play these songs in New York City and get away with it these days? Because of all the things that are being said, as Dennis said, against our God. But this is, it's freedom season. You know, from about Memorial Day on to Labor Day, it's freedom season. And this is kind of the climax of it for us as a nation, that we celebrate and we talk about freedom. But do we truly know freedom these days? To truly know freedom comes to us through our Lord, doesn't it? Freedom is something that we hear about. Freedom is something that is talked about, but is freedom truly experienced? And what does it mean? And what does it feel like to truly be free? William Wallace, who was made famous by Mel Gibson in Braveheart the movie, he actually said this, "Freedom is best, I tell thee, true of all things to be won." And of course, if you've read about his fight for freedom there in Scotland. And of course, Mel Gibson said this, you know, "I fight and you may die, run and you'll live at least a while, and dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?" You know, that part of the movie. I didn't quite get it done. Maybe I should have worn my kilt this morning or something. But freedom. Freedom. We value it so greatly. And we see it in scriptures over and over again. And what does it say here to us this morning? What Peter is saying? And I think what's interesting, this is sort of set the table here a little bit with what Peter's talking about. If you read on in his letter, he actually talks to people who are slaves. And he says, this is how you're to act as slaves. And Paul picks this up, of course, when we read the book of Ephesians and the book of Philemon. That little tiny book is all about a slave. You say, how can we talk about freedom when we're talking about slaves? And there are people in the world who, when they pick up the Bible, say, "Oh, Bible, it tells us it's okay to have slaves." No, it does not. But it deals with the reality that people were living in, and some of them were living as slaves. You say, now, how do you follow Jesus Christ as a slave? And it picks that up. And it talks about the fact that we are to act, we are to live as free men. The fact of the matter is, Jesus tells us this in John chapter 8. He So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus answered them later, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You see, there are so many people today say, well, I'm just living free. But they don't know what true freedom is because they are still in the chains and the shackles of sin. And what Jesus is saying is that if we have been made free of sin, then we know true freedom. There's no prison. There is no chains. There is nothing that can hold us down. It is the true experience of freedom in the human life. There is no other way to know true freedom. And what Peter is saying is, act as free men then. See, this is one of the hardest things. I was asked a question the other day and said, what is one of the hardest things in our culture and our society today to overcome, to truly lead somebody into a true, deep relationship with Jesus Christ? And I said, it's this one thing. People don't recognize sin as sin. They're acting as if they are free. And when we begin talking about sin, that there is this brokenness, that there is this disconnection from the God who promises us freedom, when they deny sin, then they walk around in those chains and they carry them. And they drag through life, not knowing true freedom. Thinking that they are living as free people. And all along being in such a prison. All those hymns back through the ages, and they talk about freedom. You know, that old Wesley hymn. And can it be? Talking about being freed from the dungeon. I think it's such a great picture there to go back to those words that show us freedom. This is true freedom for us. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says this, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, then you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present yourselves as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. You see, Jesus sets us free to truly live and to give ourselves completely to him. And to experience this freedom. That's what Jesus shows to us. To act as sanctified people, as people who are holy, who are like God. We're becoming more like him in our nature, in the way that we live. What does that mean? Psalm 112, verse 4, from the New Living Translation. Listen to how it says it here. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. As we were saying last week, you know, a little bit further up there in verses 9 and 10, we were seeing there the fact that we've been called out of darkness. But we live in a dark world and we shine as God would have us to. By being this kind of a people, people that are generous, people that are compassionate, people that are righteous, even in the most dark and terrible times. And I think it's amazing our nation continues to come back to. We come to July 4th and even though there's arguments over whether or not we should put flags on sneakers or something like that, yet we come back to the fact that we're free. We're free. And we can talk about sneakers and flags later if you want to, but nonetheless, it's so ridiculous some of the things that go on in our nation. We're free. There's no other place on the planet that experiences this kind of incredible freedom. And over the 200 plus years that we've experienced this, we've come to take it for granted many times, not realizing that if it was in some other place and we started complaining about sneakers, we might lose our life because, hey, these are the sneakers you're given. These are sneakers you're going to wear. I think it was interesting is in our first church we were serving, we had a young lady from China that came over to earn the rest of her master's degree from Edinburgh University. And that's kind of amazing in and of itself. But nonetheless, as she was there, And she would look at the sneakers, my little daughter's, because that's the only one we had at the time, the one that's now graduated from high school, and it's strange that much time has gone by. But she would look at her sneakers, and she would say, "Oh, you have the good ones here." And I'm thinking, those things were made where you come from. You know, they said right on a made in China. And she said, "No, we're not allowed to have these ones. We have the lower grade stuff. We ship everything good to America." And I was thinking, wow. We take it for granted even in those things. We even get the best that the Chinese have sent over to here because that's our demand in our consumer markets as we look at it. God calls us to be these sanctified people, to shine in the darkness. In Ephesians 4:28, it says this, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need." Even in all this, this command of Paul saying this is the kind of thing, and these are just a sliver of what it means to live as sanctified people, what it means to live as free people. I've said it before in part, but to go back to Exodus chapter 20 and to look at the Ten Commandments, really God is talking to a group of former slaves and saying this is what it means to live free. The Ten Commandments is just sort of a small subsection of that to let them know this is what it means to live free, to be sanctified people, to be people that look like their God, to have freedom. God calls us to use our freedom in all the right places, you know. And that's what's strange is we live in a time, in a place where we say we're liberated. And people say they're liberated, but they do things that are so enslaved to sin and so broken. And their relationships reflect that. You know, if you go back to Galatians chapter 5, a place that Paul was talking to those people in the Galatian church saying, you need to live as free people. Almost the entire book is devoted to that, saying, stop being so enslaved by so many things. And legalism was one of those things that the Judaizers in that book were holding on to. But in Galatians 5, this is kind of a lengthy passage. I apologize. I keep reading these longer passages of scripture to you. Start off with one verse and then you're over here reading half the New Testament, John. But nonetheless, Galatians 5, listen to what he says there in verse 13 to 24. "For you were called to freedom. You were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, I'm just going to stop right there, and then I'm going to go on to some more familiar passage, the familiar part of that passage to us. But just to listen to this, then Paul gets right down to it and says, if you do these things, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying, you know, we have this incredible freedom. You've been called to freedom, but yet sometimes what we're using our freedom for is not what God would have us to use it for, which is exactly where Peter is leading us here in this small little verse back in verse 16. Notice Peter says it in a few words. Paul gets it out there in great detail for us. All these things that are put out there, things that are modern day ways that people use it, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. You know, people talk about sorcery. We've glorified sorcery in our culture today and act as if it's something that's benign, but truly has these satanic elements to it. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. One of the ways that I guess Americans truly celebrate the 4th. They say we consume more alcohol on the 4th of July than any other holiday in the year nowadays. And I was going to a family function the other day, and there was this guy in front of me who was driving completely. Maybe he thought he was back in England, but he was driving completely on the left-hand side of the road. It could not have been any other thing besides being under the influence of some sort. And it wasn't a back road someplace. Although it was close to New Brighton, so maybe you might think that's a back place or something. Like, hopefully nobody in New Brighton's watching us this morning on Facebook. But the people dread this way in thinking that they're so free, and yet they gravitate towards these activities, carousing and things like these, which he's forewarned us. But notice he hinges it this direction, and he gives to us this contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The fruit of the Spirit. He gives us the opposite of that, and this fruit of the flesh and the activities that we participate in and that we go towards. And even people, as they're saying, they're celebrating freedom. In that very moment, they're celebrating this slavery. You say, don't do that. You were called to freedom. We were called to freedom. You know, we see it as an American mandate is freedom. And it's a good thing that we have, because we've elevated this incredible, as the founders call it, this incredible, you know, experiment of democracy. It's a great thing that we have. And God has used it to springboard mission worldwide. You know, as we look at the history of America, and I think as church historians look back on it, they'll look and say, what other country had the incredible freedom to take the gospel to more places? And I don't know that there'll be too many other ones that'll be able to say that, even though there was that exponential growth of the church originally back in those first 300 years of the church. There has been so much done because of those who have taken and laid down their lives and gone from this great free place to places that did not know freedom and did not know the freedom of Jesus Christ. More importantly, we have this incredible freedom. The Spirit brings that true freedom to us, and that's what Paul talks about. But the flip side of this, and this is what Paul shows to us there in Romans and also here in Galatians, and that's what Peter is saying to us in this little verse we started out in this morning here. So do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. As Jesus Christ sets us free, he then calls us to lay our lives back down to him. The whole concept of a bond slave back in these times is a slave that would come back and say, I will live with you for life. I will give my life to you. I've been given this freedom, but I'm coming back and I'm saying, I will be your servant for my life, for all that is there. The examples in the scriptures, Mary, the mother of Jesus, says this about living, giving her life to the Lord there in Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Again, in verse 48, it says, for he has regard for the humble state of his bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. This issue that Mary says, she has given herself to this purpose of God that God was going to accomplish through her. The fact that the Spirit fills us. Acts 2:18, even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And he's talking about this disposition of us to give ourselves completely to him in our freedom. Because sometimes we can just grab that freedom. We can grab the freedom even that we know of here in the United States. And we say, I'm just going to use it for whatever I want to. I'm going to use this freedom in a way that I don't care what my neighbors think of me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do life this way. And I don't care how damaging it is to somebody else around me. And what the Lord is saying is, don't take that freedom and use it in a way that is going to dishonor him. Dishonor that freedom. And in the end, as Paul's saying, is we can use that freedom in such ways that can put us in a place. I was a young man, and I was working for a fellow when I was going through college, and he was an airplane pilot for one of the airlines. And he had some properties, and he would send me around, and we'd do this work, and we'd build fence for him. Well, one day he started explaining to me his view of his Christian freedom. And he says, because of this Christian freedom that I have, I believe that I can smoke my cigars. And I went, doesn't the Surgeon General say that's not a good idea? You know, let's just start right there. Not to mention the things that God would not have us do it. Just not do it. I grew up in a house where that just didn't make sense. It wasn't something that was done. But that was his idea, to think, to do damage to himself in such a way that his freedom got us to that place. And we can have our own distorted ways. We say, well, my freedom in Christ affords me this opportunity to do whatever it might be. It's not true. Because there are these ways that God is teaching us how to live as free people, just as he taught those slaves so long ago, those Israelites, as they were coming out. And Colossians 4:12, it gives us this example of Epaphras, who was one of your number, it says, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. He was a co-laborer with Paul, but Epaphras was this one known as a bond slave, and he gave himself to serve the Colossian church. God calls us as his people, in big and small ways, that we're to have this sort of selfless side of it as we talk about this whole concept of being his bond slaves. What do you give for your true freedom? We talk about that. And as we go to the table this morning, I think it leads us that direction right away. We talk about the price of freedom and sitting there the other night, it talked about all these different veterans, people who have given their lives, people who have given their limbs. There's one man from Uniontown that was on Channel 11, and they were showing him he'd lost both of his legs in one of the current conflicts. And he, has come back, and he's got his business going, and he has his family. But he gave his legs for freedom, for the sake of fighting for freedom. All these things that we see, this great price, what are we willing to give for that? To give up ourselves really is what God is calling us to. And what have you done with your freedom to help someone else or to live as a bond slave to God? And as we look at the fact that God has freed us by the blood of his son, our freedom has come by no other way. It's come by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think that's what's wonderful about celebrating communion this morning. So we think about what's been given for our incredible political freedom, for this freedom that we live in the United States, but what has come at that deeper freedom that Jesus has brought to us? It has been by his blood. It's been by his blood. And we come to the table and it just reminds us of that even more. Here's this freedom. Here's this freedom for you. Here's this freedom for us. Here's this freedom. Do we live as slaves to our sin, or do we live as a bond slave, as a freed bond slave to our Lord? And God gives us that opportunity this morning to do that, to commit ourselves that way. There's something that's bothering you in your life. There's some sin that's sort of been nagging there. I believe that the table gives us that opportunity as we're passing these elements to one another to sit and to look at it and say, Lord, I want you to free me from that. And believe he will, because he can, and he's able. His incredible goodness is a great power. So in these moments, to think of the incredible freedom that you have been given, but those other things that you may need freed from this morning, the Lord's able and he's willing to do it. And this is a time just to allow him to work on your heart, to spend this time with him as we come to the table. Let's pray together as we prepare our hearts to go to the table this morning. Father, I thank you that you have given us freedom, that you have called us to freedom. You haven't just merely said, here it is. You've said, this is what I want for you. This is my will for you to step into this life of freedom. But Father, not just to use our freedom as a covering to do evil, but Lord, to truly live for you and to give our lives for you and to give our lives for others. Lord, we have so many incredible examples of that in this history of our country, of people who have given their lives for others. And I thank you, Lord, that we can still sing about that freedom. We can still live in that freedom. It is by your incredible goodness that we have that. But Lord, there is an incredible deeper freedom, this freedom from sin, this eternal freedom that you call us into. Lord, there are those things that we may be struggling with here this morning, and your blood is able to deliver us from those things. Lord, they might be something that's so deep and dark, even those who are closest to us don't even know that we've got them hidden back in the closets of our lives. But yet, Lord, you're calling them out today, and you're offering this freedom. Father, as we take of this bread, we take of this cup this morning, speak to our hearts about that freedom. Speak to our hearts about that sin that might be chaining us in one area or another. And you want to take care of it. You want to lead us from that place to no greater freedom. Lord, bless this time that we are about to enjoy in communion with you, in communion with each other, and to take these elements. Thank you, O Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.